Today on the Travel Guys.
It's definitely Sex in the City at the California Academy of Sciences new exhibit, and we'll tell you all about it.
In the travel news, follow-ups on the cruise ship disaster in Greece, and airfares could be in line for a big jump this summer.
Thinking of heading to London for the Olympics and cashing in your frequent flyer and hotel points? Think again, as mileage guru Ben Schlappig tells us at 2:35.
Well, you know, the rain may not make this a good weekend for bicycling in San Francisco, but we've got details on how you can create a different sort of outing in the city.
All that and more today on the Travel Guys.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again. I'm a traveling man.
Hit the road, Jack.
Riding on the city of New Orleans.
Kicks. I'm on the Route 66.
That's entertainment.
Let's go on with the show.
What a wonderful opportunity to spend an hour with you here on FM News Talk 92.5 and AM 1530 KFBK. Across from me, the fabulous Mark Hoffman from Sports Leisure Vacations. I'm Tom Romano, and welcome to another edition of the Travel Guys.
On a slightly rainy Sunday, boy, I'm glad I'm not sitting out at Candlestick Park where folks are gathering. I understand there's going to be a football game or something.
Oh, man, I tell you, I know people that they wouldn't care if it was 20 below. They would not miss this game, and they probably paid hundreds of dollars to get all wet and watch guys slop around in the mud.
I have a quick story before we go to the news. Last Sunday, I'm on the bus going down to the Gallo Center to see Lily Tomlin.
Right.
And with some Sports Leisure travelers, I'm not tour directing them. I just hitched a ride on my own bus because there was a cancellation, and I wanted to see Lily Tomlin, who, by the way, is spectacular. And we're going to have the folks from the Gallo Center on next week because I think it's a great venue. Anyway, we're on the bus. We're on the way down. I've got the computer on, and I'm updating the people on the football game and stuff like that. And, of course, as we all know, the finish to the game was quite exciting. And when the 49ers got the ball back with about a minute and a half to go on, about the 15-yard line.
I remember.
And I thought to myself, I said to the folks on the bus, I said, for those of you, I'm not a huge 49er fan, but it strikes me that this is incredible similarity to that game against Dallas when the 49ers got the ball, I think, on the 13-yard line.
Pretty much.
With about a minute and a half to go. And we all know how that ended, the catch. Mm-hmm. Anybody who's a 49er fan knows what you talk about when you say the catch.
Montana to Rice, if I'm not mistaken.
Montana to
Clark. Clark,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
okay.
for the
back of the end zone.
So we all said, you know, if no matter what Alex Smith has done, if he can pull this off, he will put himself alongside Joe Montana, and for 49er fans, that's a pretty decent place to be.
Yeah.
The guy never does anything else. All right. We are a travel show. I guess you'd never know it, but
there you go. Well, you know, the talk about sports and all, you know, let's face it, except for the travel show, it's one of the last unscripted, if you will, forms of entertainment where you never know what's going to happen. Kind of like this show. So
except that if you're at the ballpark, you're going to be very wet probably in a few hours.
There you go.
Hopefully very happy.
Well, lots of stuff going on in the travel news. Let's fire up the travel news music and bring on Mark Hoffman with today's edition of the Travel News. Mark, what do you have for us?
Oh, thanks guys for, I don't know how we get that quartet or that trio into the studio every week. Southwest Airlines, incredible shrinking seats. Southwest has announced that indeed they are going to add a row of seats to most of their aircraft over the next year. Now, Southwest claims this isn't going to hurt the legroom at all because they're going to use thinner composite materials on the seating and the padding, so you're going to have a little less padding, and your seat is only going to recline 2 inches instead of 3. Do you think people will notice the extra inch, Tom?
You know, I think people are just going to say, you know, for some reason, this plane just feels smaller. Because there's now more people.
Well, Southwest Airlines told us that 31 inches of seat pitch is the industry standard. Many major airlines, including American, United, U.S. Airways, Continental, and Delta, offer 30 to 31 inches in economy class. However, it's noted that JetBlue is offers 33, and you don't know how much 2 inches is until you're like 6'4" and you're trying to cram yourself into an airline seat.
Now, are you a recliner? Do you recline?
I recline carefully.
Okay.
If I recline slowly and carefully, and I usually don't try to recline all the way because I'm trying not to ruin the laptop computer of the guy in the seat behind.
There you go. You know what? There's so little that you get out of that reclining thing. A lot of times I'll end a flight and realize I never even bothered.
But the good news from Southwest is they're going to redo the interior of the aircraft, so you may be a little less comfortable, but at least it'll be pretty.
There you go.
Speaking of airplanes, it looks like jet fuel prices are really skyrocketing. Jet fuel, which ran an average of about $2.16 a gallon last year, is running about $2.99 now. What does that mean for you? That means the airfares are going up sometime soon. The airlines already tried the first airfare raise of the year, a $20 for cross-country fares last week. It didn't stick, but you can expect that they are going to try those regularly. My guess, Tom, is that people are going to pay $50, $60 for cross-country mm-hmm. fares more if oil doesn't spike from where it is now, and overseas fares could be a couple hundred dollars more. So if you see a sale and you see a fare that you think was comparable to something you saw last year, and you know that you're going to go because of these cancellation and change fees and stuff, but if you're pretty solid in your plans and you see something that you think is fair, I would snap it up because it may not get any better.
You know, I don't know if you have the answer to this, but don't airlines buy gas futures?
They do. They buy. The airlines hedge some of their fuel prices. Generally, Southwest was a huge success at this over the years, and then they finally got burned a couple of years ago. But yes, they do hedge generally between 30% and 70% of their fuel at a set price. But then, mm-hmm. of course, if the market goes down, just like anything else, you're stuck with that set price.
Okay.
All right. A billionaire has donated money to repair the Washington Monument. Businessman David Rubenstein has told the Associated Press he was inspired to help fund the repairs to the 555-foot monument when it became clear how severely damaged it was by the earthquake last August the 23rd. The monument received about 1 million visitors a year before it was closed to the public after the quake. So there you go, the 1% helping out the 99%, perhaps. Adolf Hitler's headquarters in Poland may become a tourist attraction. Unbelievable. The Wolf's Lair, as it was known, is now a bombed-out fortress in Poland's remote northeastern woodlands. The site had once had 80 buildings, its own power plant and train station, much of which were destroyed by retreating German forces in 1945. Now Polish officials think they can make it into a tourist attraction. All right, one more news story today. You've all heard as many stories about the cruise ship sinking as you probably care to hear. We're going to talk in the next segment a little bit about cruise ship safety for those of you who might be planning a trip. But here is a story. I don't know if you heard about this or not, but to me, this just really grabbed at my heartstrings. This is about a gentleman who did what any gentleman would do for his wife. As the Costa Concordia cruise ship went down on the west coast of Italy last week, Nicole Cervelle's husband, Francis, gave her the only life jacket that they had, and that was the last that she saw of him. Just hours after it departed, of course, the cruise ship hit rocks, forcing passengers to evacuate. So many passengers took matters into their own hands. Some of them jumped into the waters mm-hmm. and stuff. But the Miss Cervelle's husband, they only had one life jacket, and so he gave it to her. And
there's a true hero, a romantic story, true love as it at its highest level. Right there, you know, here we are 100 years from the Titanic, and a lot of people have seen the movie. And a lot of people might be seeing it again in 3D, by the way. Yeah. And here's the real life story, which, you know, I think is going to impact a lot of people.
People took off on a vacation, and a few hours later, it turned to something different. All right, we're gonna take a break, and when we come back after the break, we're gonna talk a little bit about cruise ship safety. I've also got a thing here. Remember, we asked our folks to call in and tell us what they liked about hotels. Well, we've got what hotel amenities are important to guests, not how you pick a hotel, mm-hmm. like we asked our listeners, but what amenities once you get inside the hotel are really important to you. We'll talk about that, and also safety on cruise ships. We are the Travel Guys. Let's see if I can get this right. FM News Talk 92.5
and AM 1530 KFBK.
We're going places with that sports leisure flair, a world of adventure, and we take you there.
Here's your sports leisure traveler update for this Sunday. First of all, the Lucky Travel Club listeners for today are Joan Resnick and Judy Quarterman. Joan Resnick and Judy Quarterman, you have until the close of business Tuesday to call the Sports Leisure office at 361-8687 and claim $100 in travel cash just for listening to the Travel Guys today. And our secret employee code is POTATO. One of my staff members, if they're listening, will win something really exciting. All right, Sports Leisure Travelers, your brand new newsletter is in the mail. Some of you have already received it. It includes new trips to exciting places like Pismo Beach, La Jolla, a wonderful trip to Cape Cod that includes two nights on Nantucket, a trip to the U.S. Olympic Gymnastic Trials in San Jose at the end of June, a trip over the 4th of July to Crater Lake, a Rivercrats road trip to Reno, a Broadway Pops in the Pines concert in the summer, the Sound of Music in Leavenworth, the Pageant of the Masters in Laguna Beach. As you can see, Sports Leisure Vacations has a wide variety. Oh, and my favorite, a return to the Oregon coast in September. If you don't have a list of all of Sports Leisure Vacations offering, you can go to sportsleisure.com or you can give us a call at 361-TOUR. That's 361-8687.
So nice of you to join us today here on the Travel and Entertainment Guys on FM News Talk 92.5 and AM 1530 KFBK. As we promised, we're going to give you some, well, Mark is, I know nothing about cruising. I just know a guy who knows a lot about cruising. That's my claim to fame.
You're from Modesto, yeah. Which is the home of cruising.
Well, that's true. It's a whole different kind of cruising.
Well, that's a whole different kind of cruising in automobiles. Exactly. Speaking of Modesto, we're going to have the gentleman from the Gallo Center in studio with us next week. I went down there, as now our listeners know. I've regaled them about this a couple times. But I went down there last week and saw Lily Tomlin, and I just think the Gallo Center in Modesto is one of the best entertainment venues in Northern California. I mean, it is just spectacular. Anyway, the gentleman is going to come, so someone from your hometown will be with us in studio.
There
week.
We go. I may not know a lot about the Gallo venue, but I do know a lot about the wine.
Well, and you actually told me that you're from Ripon, is that right?
No, I'm from Modesto.
You're from Modesto, but you spent time in Ripon. Am I pronouncing it right? Ripon?
Ripon, that is correct. Yes,
little
absolutely.
Town just to the north of Modesto that we drove down the main street of dinner the other night.
Okay, some tips on cruising. What do you have, Mark?
Well, after the ship had that horrible accident last week. Lots of folks, I'm sure, that are out there listening are signed up to go on a cruise, and we're going to have a guest with us in the next week or two that will talk more specifically about some of these things. But having been on a cruise ship a number of times myself and looking at some of the articles and things that have come out about emphasis on safety this week, I wanted to just talk about a couple of maybe fairly obvious things. You know, you check into a hotel, and they tell you that you should count the number of doors from your room to the staircase and to the elevator, because in a fire, the elevator may not be available to you, so you want to know where the next exit is. Now, when I check into a hotel, because I travel so much and I've traveled so long, I will confess to you that I eyeball this and I do it. I look, where's the exit sign, and I kind of mentally count the number of doors. I don't physically do it. I doubt that very few people listening to this program even take the time to do that, but that's a basic safety measure that you would do in a hotel. Now, in a cruise ship, it's a little bit different situation because, I mean, if the ship, heaven forbid, the ship starts to sink, or if there's a problem and it loses power, and the auxiliary power doesn't exactly light up the ship, then you may have some issues with being able to see really well. So it's really important. Every ship has a lifeboat drill. Every ship has a safety drill. They have to have it on the first 24 hours. Now, this particular ship in Italy had not had their safety drill yet for the people who had just gotten on, but it's a 3-disembarkation port cruise. So people were getting on and off that ship every couple of days. So 3/4 of the people who were on the ship had a safety drill. Mm-hmm. The other people had not, unfortunately, because the accident happened just a few hours into the cruise, and the safety drill was scheduled for after that. But I will tell you, first of all, don't blow off the safety drill. The ship probably won't let you blow it off because they'll come looking for you. Everybody's got a checklist, and they're going to call off names at every station, every assembly station, until they know that they have everybody. And oftentimes they won't release anybody until everybody has been accounted for. So if you're hiding in your cabin, you're really doing a disservice not only to yourself but to the other people on board the ship. So participate in the safety drill. Pay attention to what they're talking about. And when you go back to your cabin, from the safety drill, you want to know how did you get from your cabin to where your safety station, where your assembly station or your lifeboat station is.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to take notice of turns and doors and cabin numbers and things. What if there were smoke? What if the light wasn't very good? It's just like a hotel. You need to be able to get from your room. Also, another critical point that was mentioned this week. If you're on a cruise ship, oftentimes you're going to be with someone. You might be with an entire family or a group of people. Now, in this case, when the crews hit the rock, the majority of people were in the dining room at dinner. So a lot of the folks were, most folks were with whomever it was they were traveling with. But if this had happened at a different time of the day, maybe people wouldn't have been. They would have been scattered all about the ship. Very important that you have a meeting place. If that meeting place is your particular emergency assembly station, that's fine. Maybe there's two emergency meeting places. Maybe one is the cabin or one is the buffet area. One is another safety area on board ship. And especially if you're taking a family on board and you've got children on board or something like that, then you're going to want to know how, if something happens, your first thing is going to be, where are the kids?
Mm-hmm.
How do I find them? How do I get to them? So just like when we're on land and we talk about emergency preparation and earthquake safety, and those of us in California, you know, having an emergency kit to be able to survive 48 hours until the National Guard gets there to help you. Well, remember, on a cruise ship, the National Guard is not coming.
And also on a cruise ship, you don't have the access of your cell phone and all of the technology that a lot of times people rely on to stay connected with one another.
Well, absolutely. And you're not going to be able, you make a very valid point, Tom. You're not going to be able to just call a cell phone and get somebody else. You're in a foreign country. Maybe your cell phone isn't even working.
Most likely not.
You probably don't even have it with you because you know that it's not working in a foreign country. So it's really important when you're getting on the ship, just take a little bit of time to acquaint yourself and think to yourself, what would I do if something went wrong?
Good advice.
It really is the simplest of things. All right, well, let's shift gears here just for a minute and talk a little bit. We had our listeners call in last week and tell us what they liked about hotels, what they looked for in a hotel.
And now we're taking you one step further.
Hotels.com had a survey in which they asked what hotel amenities are most important to guests. Once you get in the hotel, once you pick the hotel, what's most important? Nearly a quarter of the guests stated their favorite modern in-room amenity was the use of iPads for guest services, local information, and personal use. 45% reported that their favorite new amenities are happy hours, wine tastings, or any other time with free food and drinks.
You bet.
The whole hotel chain, Embassy Suites, was born out of that very concept. 31% of travelers expressed their wish to see more complimentary bottled water in hotel rooms.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing aggravates me more than getting into a hotel room, seeing that bottle of water and having the little thing on it that says, this will cost you $4.50 if you drink it. Yeah.
Yeah, and everybody has at one time or another been forced to take that clean glass, usually, and have that tap water.
Oh, yeah. Remember when we were kids, that was what we drank. Despite some guests stealing towels and linens, 14%, or magazines and books, 12% from hotel rooms, over 66% of hotel guests have never stolen an item from their hotel room. I would be one of those people.
Good for you.
Travelers like extra luxuries like turndown service and bath menus. Travelers felt like extra luxuries like turndown service and bath menus were not worth the hype, according to 44% of female respondents and 30% of guys who just wanted to get in and take a shower. The bathroom phone gets no love. It is the least used hotel amenity, with 37% of total respondents saying they never touch it. And finally, when asked about amenities at luxury hotels, women prefer designer toiletries and men prefer the fitness center. So there you have it.
Why was there no coffee pot in there?
If we're talking about modern amenities, Tom, coffee pots were very old school. Yep. We are the Travel Guys, and you are listening to us on FM News Talk 92.5 and AM 1530 KFBK.
Mark, tell me, how's that suitcase you got from Holloway Travel holding up?
Oh, it's going on 3 years now, Tom, and it's starting to get a little banged up around the edges, but Ed, you'd be a little banged up around the edges too after 300,000 miles. If you need a suitcase, John Holloway at Holloway Travel Outfitters has probably got exactly the suitcase that you need.
And you know what? It's probably about time to start updating our travel clothing.
Well, if you're going someplace, absolutely. If you're going someplace traveling in the winter to a cold weather destination, here's the deal. John's got a winter clothing sale going on right now at Holloway Travel Outfitters, up to 75% off. And we're not talking about bargain basement stuff here. We're talking about things about like Columbia Sportswear, which is some of the finest stuff. I had a jacket from Columbia Sportswear one time until I finally left it laying in an airport. I think I'd had it for 20 years. The stuff never wears out. You go to Holloway Travel Outfitters on Fulton Avenue, and you're going to find all kinds of wonderful brand names that you can trust. You simply go to packinglight.net or packinglight.com, or you can go to travelguysradio.com, and we'll have a link for you there. Indeed, the folks at Holloway Travel Outfitters are about the friendliest travel people on the planet. Stop by and see them. Holloway Travel Outfitters open 7 days a week on Fulton Avenue between Northrop and Hurley.
Welcome. We are the Travel and Entertainment Guys here on FM News Talk 92.5 at AM 1530 KFBK. I have to say, go 49ers.
Yes, the countdown to the game has begun, less than an hour to go.
And I'm glad they waited until our show was over to get underway.
Well, special arrangements with the NFL.
All right, what do we got?
Next guest is our mileage runner from all over the world, all over the country. He happens to be fairly local with us this week. His name is Ben Schlopik. He runs a website that helps people get frequent flyer tickets when they have difficulty with that. And Ben joins us today. Ben, we had a call. Actually, we did a news story, a news item, on the Olympic Games in London, and about how CNN had an item about how the Olympic Games organizers going to allow people to return tickets they didn't want. And so we ran that as a news item, and then we got a note from one of our listeners who said, wow, that was great, but when I checked into it, it's only for citizens of Great Britain. And so he said, you know, I've got these tickets, and I haven't been able to get airline tickets for a reasonable price. And he said, I have scads of United miles, but United apparently is not releasing much in the way of award inventory during the Olympic Games. And so I immediately thought of you, and because not only are you our mileage guru, but you're the man who makes a living trying to get around the system and figuring out different ways to use different carriers and stuff. So let me ask you, how tough is it for people to get an award ticket to go to the Olympic Games?
It is unfortunately very tough, and it's not just because the flights are booked out, but they basically just block out most of the inventory. So there's no doubt it's very difficult, but there's certainly a few tricks to, I guess, get that space that they say isn't there. So, I mean, I think the first thing is a lot of people obviously want to fly directly into London, because that's where the games are. But if you instead connect in another European hub, so if instead you fly, you know, if you're in Los Angeles, if you instead connect in Frankfurt, for example, so fly Los Angeles, Frankfurt, London, you know, there's a much better chance of having availability if your transatlantic flight is into a different city or country, because obviously they're not as affected by the Olympic Games. So that would be one major trick, I think.
Or perhaps flying into another city in Britain, you know, Manchester or one of the other cities, and taking a shot from there, or have the airlines effectively shut down things that are that close?
No, you're right. Absolutely, that works too. So you could fly to Manchester, or you could even go into Ireland. I mean, there's a lot of options. The key is just not to try to fly directly into London, because that's going to be where they're blocking the most space on those direct flights.
Ben, you make a living now helping people get award tickets. So have you had folks who have come to you and asked you to help them with Olympic tickets, and have you had any success?
I have had some success. It's certainly tough, and it's, I think the key is to also take advantage of any transfer promotions there are. So, for example, I have a lot of clients with American Express membership rewards points, and those can be transferred to Delta, for example. So occasionally they run bonuses where they offer basically a 30 to 50% bonus if you transfer during select periods, and that would greatly basically reduce the price of that award to London. You know, if it was previously 200,000 miles for business class, which is very high, you know, now it's only 120,000, 130,000 miles. That's a bit more reasonable.
And there are also a number of other international carriers. American Express isn't quite as good on domestic carriers as it used to be, but especially with Continental leaving the mix. But they still have some international carriers, which, again, folks might consider the possibility of flying an international carrier that happens to fly through London, which is not an uncommon situation.
Exactly. I mean, they also partner with Virgin Atlantic, British Airways, Iberia. They have quite a few airline partners. So if you're willing to fly some other airlines, that certainly helps as well. And I think it's also worth noting that the airlines always open up award space closer to departure. So keep checking back, and you know, if you're a little bit flexible and you're willing to wait, something will eventually open up. It might only be a month out. It might only be almost a week out, but space always opens up.
Now, Ben, the restrictions that that are occurring on your awards tickets and such, you know, now fall under that little category called we reserve the right to, because, you know, this isn't necessarily something that happens all the time, since Olympics don't occur every day, every week, every year for that matter. So with that being said, do people know ahead of time? How far out do you know that you're not going to be able to use your awards for something like an Olympic trip?
I mean, if you're flexible, I would say the only time you'll know is after the plane has left, because, you know, believe it or not, airlines do open up award space even hours before departure. So
now, do you think that for something like the Olympics, they might do that?
Absolutely, because, you know, right now they're basically hoping that they're going to sell every last seat at their inflated prices, and eventually they'll realize that that's not going to happen, and there's going to be last-minute cancellations. Also, keep in mind they're not going to oversell flights to the Olympics quite as much as they usually would, because if they need to bump somebody, there's very few alternatives on which to rebook them. So they're being a little bit more moderate with their overselling here. So as a result, it should be that closer in, we actually see quite a bit of space open up.
Ben, I know that domestically you've recently changed your allegiance from United to American. We're in the process of seeing two major mergers now. Continental and United are coming together. Two low fare carriers, Southwest and AirTran, are coming together. There's word on the street is that Frontier Airlines is not making money, and I don't know that they're on the verge of bankruptcy tomorrow, but they're a low fare carrier who frequently moves the fare needle with their fare sales and things like that. Is the result of all of this a downside for the customer, for the consumer?
I would say absolutely. I mean, it results in higher fares, which we're seeing now. I'm trying to book travel for the next couple of months, which is historically a pretty low period, and I'm seeing the highest fares I've seen in years. So I would say that, yes, I mean, it's definitely not good for consumers. Competition is always a good thing. In my ideal world, they would all be struggling and barely hanging in there, though, because I don't want them to file for bankruptcy, because that reduces competition as well. But it's definitely not good for consumers.
Back to the awards points and such. What about hotels and car rentals? Are there going to be heavy restrictions on those categories as well, you think?
Yes. I mean, the thing is, most hotel chains actually do not have capacity controls on hotel awards. The thing is that they're just about completely booked out for the Olympics, or at least they're blocking out all their rooms because they're hoping to sell them to groups, or they have them through contractors. But the key is actually that a lot of times they still have suites available, and you can actually use your hotel points in most programs for suites. So if you don't see any availability for a standard room, take a look at suites. For example, Hyatt only charges a 50% point premium for a suite over a standard room, and in my experience, suites will have better availability than standard rooms.
So you've got to think outside the box, and you've also got to think ahead. Folks who had, I mean, the Olympics are in August. You could have started working on this in September. We're now in January. So, the early bird has gotten the worm and left town by now.
Exactly.
Yeah. Ben, thank you for joining us for a few moments. I know you're in, San Francisco preparing for another journey. You're headed to China?
To China next week, yes. I had a good fare on American, and they're offering a double elite qualifying mile, so getting an early start on my requalification.
there you go. Ben, stay in touch, and I'll look forward, if not before October, certainly meeting in Chicago then for the frequent flyer gathering.
Thanks much, guys. It was great talking to you, Ben.
We are the Travel and Entertainment Guys, always trying to make you a smarter traveler here on FM News Talk 92.5 and AM 1530 KFBK.
You know, we probably should mention, too, Tom, here, that go to TravelGuysRadio.com. If you're having any, not just with the Olympics, but if you're ever having a problem getting an award ticket, what our friend Ben does is, for a living, is he helps people get award tickets. And the great thing about his service is that he doesn't charge you if you don't get the ticket. So,
can't beat that.
Yeah, you can't. So go to TravelGuysRadio.com, and there'll be a link there. And it's up there all the time, pointspros.com, and you can go and send Ben an email. You can talk to him, and he's pretty easygoing guy, and in many cases, I'm going to guess that if you've got those points and you want to get someplace like the Olympics, $150 is and not to mention the fact that somebody else does all the work for you. So, anyways, we are the Travel Guys. This is AM 15. This is, what is it, Tom?
FM News Talk 92.5. It's the Travel Guys radio program here on FM News Talk 92.5 and AM 1530 KFBK. And from time to time, we get to talk about sex on this program. A lot of folks don't know that if you're just tuning in.
We do. I didn't know about this. We do get to talk about sex on this program?
Today, we do.
Okay.
And we can also talk about one of my favorite destinations in San Francisco, besides going to a Giants game, and that's the California Academy of Sciences. Mark, introduce our guest today.
We have with us on the line Bart Shepard. Bart is the director of the Steinhardt Aquarium, which we'll talk about a little bit later on in the interview. But more importantly, he is part of a new exhibition, a new attraction that's coming to the California Academy of Sciences. It's called Animal Attraction.
And this is the sex part.
And this is the sex part. Bart, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Please tell us about, now that we've gotten everybody's attention by saying the word sex two or three times, please tell us about this exciting new attraction that is coming to the California Academy of Sciences.
Sure, I'd be happy to. Well, of course, you know, sex gets everybody's attention, but sex is really important for evolution. Sex really drives evolution by providing the opportunity for animals to get together and form new combinations of genes and then pass those genes along, you know, to their offspring. So what we wanted to do was really tell that story. You know, one of the themes of our museum, overarching themes of our museum, is about evolution, and wanted to tie that in to the importance of reproduction and evolution and show people some unique and interesting mating behaviors that are found out in the natural world.
Now, probably, Bart, the first thing that somebody, some parent that's driving around out there thinks is, well, I'm not taking my 9-year-old to that exhibit. So help us understand why this is something that it will be good for all ages.
Yeah, of course. I mean, you know, I have two small daughters as well, so I share those concerns. And you know, the fact is that reproduction is all around us. We see it every day, and we don't necessarily associate it with things that are racy. You know, flowers, fruit, all of those things are the result of sex and reproduction in the natural world. So through our methods of delivering content, we're able to sort of tailor the content to different groups and make sure that the exhibit is important, conveys important lessons to all visitors of all ages.
Give me a little walkthrough, if you would, through the attraction from kind of start to finish in brief, if you would, and tell me what people are going to actually see.
Sure. Well, this is a smaller exhibit gallery that's tucked way in the back of the aquarium. And what we've done is we're going to transform it with a variety of physical means and then some electronic means in order to make it look completely different than the rest of the aquarium. So it is going to be a unique and sort of new experience compared to the rest of the exhibits that we have at the Steinhardt Aquarium. One of the things that I want to point out is we have about 18 tanks in this gallery, so there'll be 18 different enclosures that show a wide range of examples of reproduction from the animal kingdom. And we'll talk about things such as freshwater fish. We'll have some insects in there. We tell stories from a broad array of animals, so a wide diversity of animals.
So not just aquatic life forms, but animals of all kinds.
Animals of all kinds, and some things that, you know, may be familiar to your listeners, like garden snails and banana slugs, which have fantastic stories of reproduction.
Bart, just speaking of which, and you hear these things from time to time, and nobody ever really knows if they're urban legend or not. Tell us about one of the – I mean, you know, I've heard what did I hear the other day about some species where the – the male becomes the female or something like that, or after the female eats the male after they're done doing their nasty thing or whatever it is.
Oh, yeah. Well, all those stories occur. You know, I mean, you could
all
think
of the
up,
above is true.
Yeah, you couldn't think up some of the things that occur actually in science. One of my favorites are the story of sex change in fishes, which is you alluded to, and that's very common in fish. And
wow.
So we'll be displaying that. We have some fish that are called fairy basslets or antheas, and they live in big harems, and they all start out as females. And there's a certain number of males found within this population in their school that's governed by social structure. And so if one of those males is eaten or dies, well, the female can change and turn into a male to replace him within that social structure.
Take the man's – well, there's 100 comments that would go with that, and
wow.
I wouldn't even want to touch it. Bart, when does this exhibition open?
Well, it opens on February 11th, Saturday, February 11th. And if you're 21 or older, you can also catch a sneak preview on February 9th during our nightlife program.
And Bart, what timing? February 11th, just a few days before Valentine's Day.
Of course.
Oh, absolutely. All right, Bart, enough of the animal attraction and Academy of Sciences. You have another little project there, the Steinhardt Aquarium, that you're in charge of. What's going on at the aquarium these days?
Oh, everything is going on at the aquarium. It's always changing, always evolving. It's fantastic. I've actually been here. I'm coming up on 15 years with the Steinhardt Aquarium, and done a little bit of everything over that time. And right now, it's a great period for the aquarium. We've got a lot of neat exhibits going on. The animal attraction is one that we're working on quite a bit. And our rainforest and our large exhibits, our coral reef exhibit and our California coast exhibit, have really developed now over the past, after being open for 3 years or so.
Bart Shepard, the director of the Steinhardt Aquarium, and more importantly, part of the new exhibit Animal Attraction at the California Academy of Sciences that opens in just a couple of weeks. Bart, thanks for your time today, buddy. We appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
You're tuned to the Travel and Entertainment Guys here on FM News Talk 92.5 and AM 1530 KFBK.
That's a mouthful.
I know. And you know, one of my favorite
passages. At least you get it right.
Not always. We're getting better.
We're getting better, yes.
Wait, just think when they add that third radio station, what are we going to do?
God help us on that day.
Introduce our guest.
Our guest is Jimmy Acevedo.
Acevedo.
Acevedo. Jimmy Acevedo, who is with – Jimmy has a company called Blazing Saddles. A family-owned company, he tells me, which rents bicycles in San Francisco, Monterey, and New York City. Jimmy, how long have you guys been in business?
A little bit over 25 years.
Wow. Wow. So this is not like a new trendy kind of thing. This is something that's been around for a while.
Yeah, it's not new. I mean, it's just become more trendy in the last, like, 5 or 6 years. It's really picked up.
And it's a family-operated business. Now, just briefly, tell me, how did who's brainchild in the family was the bike tours?
Jeff and Elena Sears, and they started actually doing the pedicabs down in Fisherman's Wharf about over 25 years ago, and they expanded to bikes when they came out with the first three-geared bike and started, you know, wanted to share the experience of biking over the Golden Gate Bridge with everybody before there were even bike paths to go on.
Now, you have bike tours in San Francisco, Monterey, New York.
That's
correct.
We're
going to mostly talk today, of course, about San Francisco and Monterey. Give me a day in the life of, if you would.
Well, you know, basically what most people do is, from Fisherman's Wharf, it's a nice car-free flat ride that takes them along the water to the bridge. They cross over the bridge on the sidewalk. Really fun 10-minute downhill ride into Sausalito. Most people go there, eat, drink, have some fun, and then they can put their bikes on the ferry and come back.
Ah, boy, that sounds like a lot of fun.
Now, is that like a half day, a few hours? What are we
looking at? It's about an hour and 20 minutes to Sausalito. Ferry ride back is 20 minutes. So about 2.5-3 hours is the average time. Of course, you know, people stop and eat and drink and have a good time.
Now, Jimmy, I see that you have locations throughout San Francisco. Is it possible for people to pick up a bicycle in one location and drop it in another?
There are a couple of the locations that we do allow that, but most times they just bring it back to where they rent it from. Six of our locations are right in Fisherman's Wharf, so they're really close to each other. And then we have one in Union Square. So, you know, it's very easy to find all the locations.
And what, pray tell, what does it cost to rent a bicycle for a day or part of a day?
Our bikes start at $8 an hour, $32 for the day, and you pay when you come back, so whatever works out best.
I see. So you can just kind of take the bicycle out, and if you decide after an hour that's enough bicycle riding for you,
You have quite a variety of different kinds of bikes. I see you have tandem bikes.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Now, we even have a triple tandem.
Triple tandem. Now, I think it was Angel Island, I made an attempt of tandem biking. It's not as easy as it looks.
No, I would say it's about 50-50 for the people that, you know, everybody wants to try it. But luckily, we have, like, a lot of indoor facilities. We have a lot of good test ride areas. So we're like, try the bike out and see how you like it. It's a coordinated effort.
So you can actually decide whether or not you think a tandem bike is something that you can handle before you get out on the street and inflict the public.
Absolutely. We make sure everybody's all dialed in before they leave.
So they have specific routes. Now, can they just rent a bicycle from you and go off on their own if they choose?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So when they come in, I mean, they're basically getting the bike. We go over a suggested route with them and show them where they can ride, but they can ride wherever they like.
So you get a bicycle and a concierge all in one. Now, we were talking about San Francisco. You also have bicycles for rent in the Monterey Carmel area.
That's correct. And we're located right at Cannery Row. And you can basically bike all along the bay, along 17-mile drive, toll-free. Go check out the world-famous Lone Cypress Tree and the Lodge at Pebble Beach.
So you can get things from a little bit different point of view. And considering how difficult traffic is on that 17-mile drive, particularly on the weekends, a bicycle would probably be a much better way to go. Plus, Tom, I can see Manhattan being such a pedestrian-centric city.
Mm-hmm.
A bicycle strikes me as the perfect combination between your feet and the subway.
Mm-hmm.
Blazing Saddles, bike rentals and tours. They're in San Francisco, Monterey, and New York. If you'd like some more information, we encourage you, go to travelguysradio.com. We'll have a link to their website there. Jimmy, thank you for coming by and sharing a little bit with us about biking in San Francisco.
Hey, no problem. Thanks for having me.
Bicycles in San Francisco. Boy, we've been all over the place today. You've got a football game to watch in a very few minutes, and we've got to move down the road. So that'll do it for another edition of the Travel Guys this Sunday. Tom, you have a good week on the FM side.
You as well. Thank you. Join me on Classic 93.1. I'm there from 3 to 7.
3 to 7, Monday through Friday. I'm Mark Hoffman. I'm at Sports Leisure Vacations. We are the Travel Guys. Remember, an hour a week.